I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 8th. And we'll examine the upcoming primary election for State Supreme Court this hour and tomorrow at this time as we first talk with a guest analyst about the race for State Supreme Court, and then we will start welcoming in the three candidates who are running for State Supreme Court Justice. We wonder if this is a race you're paying attention to. We'll talk about what's at stake, who's running, what questions do you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We'll start with a guest analyst, and then after 7:30, we will welcome in the first of the three candidates who will be on the primary ballot on February 20th. Madison attorney Linda Clifford joins us after 7:30. Tomorrow morning, during this hour, we will hear from the two other candidates, attorney Joe Summers and Judge Annette Ziegler. Let me welcome in first Howard Schwaber, associate professor of political science and affiliate member of the law school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first off, how important is this race this year for Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Actually, it's terrifically important. The court is presently split. There's a three-member liberal bloc, which is Justices Abramson, Bradley, and Butler. There's a three-member conservative bloc, which is Justices Prosser, Ruggensack, and Wilcox. And Patrick Crooks, who's also running for re-election, but he's running unopposed, is generally regarded as a swing voter who can go either way. The open seat is that of retiring Judge Wilcox, so one of the conservatives. If Wilcox is replaced by a distinctly more liberal justice, that would pull the weight of the court away from an evenly split institution to one with a distinct policy bent. Conversely, if he is replaced by a policy conservative, the court would maintain something like its present balance.
Yeah. Why should anyone care who sits on the Supreme Court?
Well, anyone who's involved, because they answer questions that are of terrific moment and consequence for all of us in our lives. Ranging from how businesses are conducted and liability and tort reform issues, which are among the leading issues in the race, to questions of the right to privacy and the reach of the state government's authority. Wisconsin has had a couple of very controversial cases in which Wisconsin state agencies have intervened in family life and in the conduct of pregnant women, for example, bringing actions to imprison pregnant women who drink or use drugs while pregnant and other things of this sort. So all of the questions that have to do with the limits of how far the state can go are eventually wind up in the courts. And in Wisconsin, those questions are front and center.
Now, judges don't run with a D or an R by their names or an L or a C. How do we know if we're electing a liberal judge or a conservative judge?
Well, fortunately, in this case, there are three candidates, and each one has staked out a very distinct position, and so it's quite easy to tell. Linda Clifford is a prominent Democrat, a staunch Democrat, a regular contributor to Democratic candidates, has been endorsed by all leading Democrats. Her story is sort of the classic story of an ideal Democratic candidate. She comes from a working-class family outside of Chicago, went to college at Beloit College in Wisconsin, then law school at UW, worked in the Attorney General's office, left work to be a stay-at-home mother for a while, came back to work and is now a partner in a law firm, is highly qualified. She was the president of Dane County Bar Association. But she has that classic Democrat or progressive biography of working class, making it through hard work, sympathy for workers. Her father was a labor organizer, and as a child, she went through steel worker strikes that were hard on the family, so she has a sense of identification with organized labor and with working people. And those are the perspectives that she brings to bear on questions of judicial policy, and she is widely and I think correctly regarded as not exceptionally liberal, but certainly mainstream Democrat.
Yeah. Well, the Joe Summers is
Joe Summers is the outsider candidate. Mm-hmm. He's running as a reformer. His big issue is that he believes that the Dane County District Attorney's Office is out of control and needs to be reined in. That's really his only big issue, at least as that I've been able to discover when we speak with him. By all means, ask him if he has others. He's had a lot of run-ins with the ADA, with the DA's office and with the Office of Lawyer Regulation. He accuses the district attorney's office of making sweetheart deals with prominent local attorneys to file criminal charges in order to jack up attorney's fees in related civil cases. There's an assistant district attorney named Paul Humphrey, who's his particular target, and it does, I want to be careful here, I have not investigated these issues myself, it does appear that there's a significant record of Mr. Humphrey getting in trouble and being reprimanded by judges and by judicial organizations for at least pushing the line of prosecutorial conduct.
Yeah. Indeed, isn't there some sort of reprimand pending for Mr. Summers?
It's a complicated story. There is a reprimand pending for Mr. Summers from the Office of Lawyer Regulation. He points to that as Exhibit A of the corruption of the organization, and in fact has sent an open letter to the Wisconsin Supreme Court accusing the OLR of being allowing itself to be used to silence him. He has in turn filed complaints of his own. He has been the defense attorney in a couple of highly controversial cases in which the state's conduct has quite legitimately come under serious question. So, my most important point here, I think, is that beyond that, I don't, and I think we don't know very much about him.
Yeah.
That is, he's not running on a broad slate of policies. He is generally, he's a solo practitioner, defense attorney, whose issues have to do with the criminal justice system and how it's operated.
Let me pause for a moment. We'll talk about the third candidate running for state Supreme Court coming up after this weather break. 1-800-642-1234 for your questions about the race in general, the issues in this race. For our guest, Howard Schwaber, Associate Professor of Political Science and affiliate member of the UW-Madison Law School. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 8th. Coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon, it's At Issue with Peter Donalds filling in for Ben Marins. Presidential candidate Joe Biden's comments about candidate Barack Obama sparked the latest conversations about race in America. Peter Donalds and his guest after 5 will continue the conversation. He talks with the author of Race Manners for the 21st Century after 5 this afternoon. We are taking a look at the race for state Supreme Court in Wisconsin. There are three candidates whose names you'll see on the February 20th primary ballot. Your vote will narrow the field to two candidates who will face off in the April 3rd elections. You get to be the judge and ask the questions as we talk first with an analyst about the race, and we'll welcome in our first candidate, Linda Clifford, coming up after 7:30. Let me play for you the first ad in this race that we found anyway from candidate Annette Ziegler.
Who's your choice for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice? The election is coming up on February the 20th.
I haven't decided yet.
Did you know there's only one person running for Supreme Court who's a judge?
Really? That's surprising. Who's the experienced choice for Supreme Court?
Judge Annette Ziegler. She's a former criminal prosecutor, and now she's a senior judge. She has a reputation for being tough on crime. She's put thousands of bad guys in prison.
She sounds tough.
Oh, she is. Judge Ziegler served as Assistant United States Attorney, Special Assistant District Attorney, and has been a judge for nearly 10 years. She's tough on crime and has experience.
That must be why Annette Ziegler is law enforcement's choice for the court. She's endorsed by the Milwaukee Police Association and the Milwaukee Deputy Sheriff's Association. She's also been endorsed by a majority of the district attorneys across the state. Both Republicans and Democrats are endorsing Annette Ziegler for Supreme Court.
Experienced prosecutor, respected judge, and endorsed by law enforcement, Judge Annette Ziegler is the clear choice for Supreme Court justice.
Experience, independence, integrity.
Judge Annette Ziegler for Supreme Court.
Paid for by Judge Ziegler for Supreme Court. Dirk Hausman, Treasurer.
Yeah, and I promise we will play any ads from other candidates in this race or between the primary and the general as well. But Professor Schwaber, anything to add to that ad for candidate Annette Ziegler?
Yeah, that's a very interesting ad. I couldn't tell if she was running for Supreme Court Justice or Attorney General. Putting bad guys in prison is actually the jobs of prosecutors, which of course Ziegler has been. I should point out Linda Clifford also is a past prosecutor. Linda Clifford worked for the state, whereas Judge Ziegler worked as a federal prosecutor, but they both have background in that area. The ad focuses on two things, right? Her professional experience and that she's tough on crime. Neither of those is really the big issue in the race. The big issue in the race has to do with tort reform. Justice Wilcox has written a couple of very strong dissenting opinions and some concurring opinions supporting caps on tort recoveries, supporting limits on liability, and generally taking the business community's side on the very contentious issue of tort reform and law reform. And Ziegler is regarded as his heir in that respect. She is the business Republican in the race. That is, if I can describe Linda Clifford as a mainstream Democrat, Ziegler comes across very much as a mainstream Republican. And the big issues are less being tough on crime, which really is not a matter of terrific salience to most voters these days. The crime rate is quite low, but rather support for the business community. But there's two interesting things about that. First, Judge Ziegler has been trying very hard not to run as a Republican. That is, she's tried to present herself as nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. She does not have a history of contributing to Republican candidates. And unlike Linda Clifford, Annette Ziegler has tried to present herself as simply a judge. What's interesting and frankly unpersuasive about that is that she in fact has very strong ties to the Republican Party. She was appointed by Tommy Thompson. Her campaign manager is a somewhat controversial figure named Mark Grau. Mark Grau ran Mark Green's campaign. Mm-hmm. Grau has been linked to Jack Abramoff's influence peddling schemes, and he's running by far a much more sharp-edged campaign than Clifford is. There's a little bit of discussion about a fundraising letter written by former Lieutenant Governor Margaret Farrow, mm-hmm. In which Farrow engaged in, the letter calls Linda Clifford a liberal activist. It describes the Wisconsin Supreme Court as an activist arm of liberal special interest groups. This is pretty red meat conservative language, especially at this stage. I mean, 10 years ago, that would have been unremarkable, but given the current climate, one might not expect to see that kind of language coming up in a judicial race.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the part of her ad, though, and her resume. She is a judge or even a supervising judge, and she's the only sitting judge running.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. She's been a judge in 1997 when she was appointed by Tommy Thompson. She was then elected to a full term in 1998. She has been endorsed by three past Supreme Court justices.
Ziegler has?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Again, there's certainly no doubt about her professional qualifications.
Is it important that a sitting judge be elected Supreme Court justice, or do attorneys also get elected Supreme Court justice?
Well, I think that's a good question, mm-hmm. and I don't think that there's a straight answer to it. I hate to be evasive. Mm-hmm. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sitting judges have the advantage that, of course, they have the experience of hearing cases and deciding them. They may have the disadvantage that they may be tied into the politics of the judicial system. They may, if I can put it this way, be a creature of the system already, rather than bringing a fresh perspective to bear. Historically, at both the state and federal level, sometimes past judges have been terrific justices, sometimes attorneys have, and the converse has been true in both cases as well.
Yeah, the fact that we have this one ad out already, I know that candidate Clifford is going to also be getting an ad out soon. I guess it's not out yet. This is, how unusual is this for a race for a state Supreme Court?
There's a lot of money in this race. Mm-hmm. Ziegler and Clifford have each raised about $300,000, including significant contributions of their own to the races. I don't know whether that's a record, but certainly this race, it's unusual. I mentioned Mark Grau. It's unusual to have a party operative at the level of Mark Grau working on a judicial race. Over the last 10 or 15 years across the country, state judicial races have become more intense, more partisan, more heavily funded, and this race clearly brings that pattern here to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, Professor Schwaber, handicapping this race, it certainly there's a primary. There are three candidates. It sounds like, from what you're saying, after the primary, we might have the mainstream Democrat and the mainstream Republican running against each other.
I think that's almost certainly right. I think voters would be well advised to focus on. I mean, one of the difficulties in a judicial race is that you can't ask the candidates, how would you rule on a given issue?
Right, they won't talk about it.
I'm sorry?
They won't talk about it.
Right. And so the most you can do is sort of figure out their general policy orientation. which is an indirect way of getting at the question of how they'll rule. The big policy issue before the court right now relates to the business community. It has to do with tort reform and caps on liability. There, it's pretty clear that Ziegler would continue Wilcox's tradition of supporting the business community, and it's pretty clear that Clifford would at least be sympathetic to hearing an argument more favorable to plaintiffs.
Yeah.
I certainly agree that the election is going to come down to Clifford against Ziegler, and I think you're exactly right. Basically, this is a mainstream centrist Democrat against a mainstream centrist Republican.
Yeah. Well, besides tort reform, is that the only issue that observers care about?
No, I'm quite certain that it's not. But for example, your news story just a little while ago cited a poll on the question of whether 17-year-olds should be tried as adults.
Mm-hmm.
And the news story mentioned that Wisconsin is one of the few states that automatically treats 17-year-old felons as adults. Well, there's another issue which one can be reasonably confident that Ziegler and Clifford would differ, at least in their policy preferences. How that would play out as a justice of the Supreme Court is a little hard to say. Both candidates insist that they don't intend to be activist judges, although Ziegler has accused Clifford of wanting to be an activist judge. Both insist that they view their role as judges to be to apply the law, to not make the law. They say all the right things to reassure someone who might disagree with them on policy grounds that they're not going to impose an agenda. But, you know, Alexis de Tocqueville once said that every important political question in America eventually ends up in the courts, and I think that historically that's true.
Yeah. Talk about, is it fair to ask these candidates about their judicial philosophy, whether... Talk about that. Is that a fair question?
It's absolutely a fair question, and you should certainly ask it.
Mm-hmm.
You should expect them to have a polished and not terribly informative answer, however.
Yeah, what exactly does judicial philosophy mean?
Well, I mean, there's a real question there, but it's hard to get to in a political campaign. The real question is, how do you, confronted by a statute or a constitutional provision whose meaning is ambiguous or whose application is ambiguous, by what reasoning process do you determine what the law means in this case? And there are a lot of different reasoning techniques that judges use, and no judge uses only one, to try and answer that question. So in the case of a constitutional issue, for example, we often talk about the question of originalism. Do you feel that the terms of a constitution are limited to covering only what they covered at the time that the authors wrote them, and only the issues that the authors could envision? Or do you feel that the terms of a constitution express principles, and that the job of, especially a Supreme Court justice, is to apply those principles consistently as new situations arise? That's one of the fundamental divisions between judicial philosophies. And that's the kind of question it would be interesting to which it would be interesting to hear an answer. I suspect if you ask the candidates, what you'll get primarily is a boilerplate answer to the effect of judges should apply the law and not make the law, and I do not intend to be an activist.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what happens. We appreciate your analysis and your expertise, Professor Schwaber. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Howard Schwaber, Associate Professor of Political Science, affiliate member of the Law School at the University of Wisconsin, Madison. Giving us the short course on all three candidates who are running for state Supreme Court. Primary is February 20th. The field then will be narrowed to two candidates for the April 3rd election. We will meet the first of the candidates for this series. Madison attorney Linda Clifford will be joining us after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, February the 8th. Good to have you with us as we kick off our series of candidate forums with the three candidates running for state Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin. You be the judge. You ask the questions. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison. 263-1890, 263-1890. In our last half hour, we heard from a guest analyst, Professor Howard Schwaber, who gave us kind of the short bios on all of the candidates and some of the issues that are going on in this particular race. In this half hour, we will hear from Linda Clifford, who is a Madison attorney and a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Tomorrow at this time, we will hear from the other two candidates who are running for state Supreme Court, Joe Summers, Madison attorney Joe Summers, and Judge Annette Ziegler. That's tomorrow. And you get to ask the questions during all of them, 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. The top two candidates will advance to the April 3rd general election. After the February 20th primary, the winner will replace retiring Supreme Court Justice John Wilcox. Let me welcome in our first candidate, Madison attorney, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, Linda Clifford. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Our guest analyst did give us some of your bio in the last half hour, but I want you to be able to highlight your own experience as you would like to.
Well, thanks for that opportunity, Joy. I'm happy to add to what he said, none of which was incorrect, actually. I'm running for this position because I think what I have to offer the court is a unique body of experience and a point of view that's lacking on the court right now, and that the court and its decision-making would benefit from the addition of a seasoned practitioner like me who's had 32 years of quality experience and leadership in the practice of law.
Yeah, what exactly is lacking from the current Supreme Court that you would provide?
Well, diversity of professional background. I've represented real people, real businesses, both in government practice and in private practice, solving legal problems all around the state, including about more than 30 appellate cases, which are an apropos qualification for this particular election. But decision-making happens best when the justices come from a variety of professional and personal backgrounds, and what's lacking now is a justice who's actually represented real people in a courtroom across the state, in recent times. The court now is heavily weighted toward former trial judges, which is different from the court's history, where about 10 years ago, the majority of the justices came from outside the court system, from the law school or private practice or the legislature. And I think that most Wisconsin voters instinctively understand that diversity of professional experience leads to better decision-making so that decisions do take into account all of its ramifications.
Tell us about a little more about your legal background. What sorts of law did you practice? How did you represent real people?
In the Attorney General's office in the early 1970s, I did environmental law, enforcing the state's environmental laws all across the state, air pollution, water pollution, solid waste, protection of fish habitat, a variety of environmental subjects. I also wrote legal opinions for the Attorney General on matters of statewide concern, questions that were asked by state officials, district attorneys, and other officials around the state. And I left the Attorney General's office in 1977 when my children arrived and practiced as a solo practitioner for a while when they were little, in a variety of areas, but principally in environmental. Then joining the La Follette Sinicon firm in 1982, my practice broadened to include a number of substantive issues, from environmental law to constitutional issues, First Amendment litigation, open records and open meetings cases, fighting secrecy in government, family law, immigration that I do for some of Wisconsin's largest businesses and universities and hospitals, in advising employers how to comply with immigration laws properly. And I've done telecommunications regulation and energy policy and energy regulation. These are issues that touch upon all of our voters and are issues that will sooner or later make their way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah, we heard the ad from your one of your opponents, Annette Ziegler, in our last half hour, the ad portraying Annette Ziegler as the only experienced candidate for the state Supreme Court because she's a judge. Well, what's your response to that?
Well, this my response reflects what I just said previously. The court needs diversity. And in fact, historically, about half of the justices came from outside the court system and had no prior judicial experience. This includes our current Chief Justice, Shirley Abrahamson. It includes the two prior Chief Justices, Raleigh Day and Nate Heffernan, and it includes several very highly regarded Supreme Court justices who came to the court from the law school or from the legislature or from different areas of the legal profession. So prior judicial experience is certainly no requirement and historically has not been borne out and practically is not should not be a requirement because of diversity, the need for diversity of backgrounds, and because the skill set of a sitting local judge is not the same skill set required to be a Supreme Court justice.
Besides the comments you had about providing more diversity of professions on the state Supreme Court, why is it that you want to sit on the Supreme Court?
I do believe I have something to offer. I'm 58 years old, and I have practiced a career that I'm proud to say has been distinguished. My body of work has been recognized by the State Bar of Wisconsin, by the Leaders in the Law program, by the Wisconsin Super Lawyers program, by Best Lawyers in America, and a number of other attorney rating programs. And I think that at this point in my career, I could serve the court well. I've spent my career dedicated to legal scholarship, and legal scholarship is required to serve the court well, both in terms of analyzing the law, understanding the history and development of the law, understanding where Wisconsin law is going, and being able to articulate a decision that provides guidance to public officials, to attorneys, and to citizens across the state.
We also heard from our analyst and others who are watching this race that what we have here, probably will have here, is a mainstream Democratic candidate, that being you, running against a mainstream Republican candidate, that being Annette Ziegler. Do you agree with that analysis?
Well, I can't disagree that I was formerly a Democrat. I think that would be disingenuous. Mm-hmm. And at age 58, I think it would be pathetic if I had mm-hmm. not been involved in community and political activities. But that background stays at the conference room door, and you leave behind personal and political ideology or preferences when you are governed by the rule of law and apply and interpret the law as it exists, and trying to advance legislative purpose rather than your own purpose. So it's unfortunate that these political labels have been used. I've strived hard to obtain bipartisan support and do have bipartisan support of several Democratic governors and as well as the Republican governor to reflect my commitment to the nonpartisan nature of this position.
Yeah. So you would not be a liberal activist judge, as one of your challengers' supporters, Margaret Farrow, labeled you in a letter?
Well, that letter fails to define what activist judge means, and this is one of the troubling aspects of that phrase, which has been used as a pejorative slur by parties that lose cases in front of the Supreme Court and don't like the result. So they use a phrase like this to accuse the judge or the court of being activist. I don't know what that phrase means. I think that it's an unhealthy term. I think every judge wants to be active and busy and to do the best job possible. And I don't think that rendering decisions and being labeled for it or assaulted with slurs is an appropriate use of campaign letterhead. I think it's sad that a candidate has not disavowed the statements in that letter, which attack the Wisconsin Supreme Court and its independence, which attacks a sizable portion of the Wisconsin Bar, calling trial lawyers greedy, and calls into question her ability to render decisions in an impartial way, because that letter already has described or characterized a decision on the Supreme Court as an activist decision. Judge Ziegler has not disavowed that statement, nor has she disavowed the assault on lawyers. And she needs to reconsider that, I think, because she can't really impartially regulate attorneys, which is one of the jobs of the Supreme Court, if she's already characterized them in a pejorative way.
Well, I'll ask her that tomorrow at this time. Right now we are talking with Linda Clifford. She is a Madison attorney and a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Three candidates running in the primary for State Supreme Court Justice for the open seat being vacated by the retiring Judge John Wilcox. Linda Clifford, one of the candidates, Madison attorney Joe Summers, another. We'll hear from him tomorrow as well. And Circuit Court Judge Annette Ziegler, the third. We'll hear from her tomorrow. 1-800-642-1234. We have a couple of open lines, and we'll go to all of your questions after this weather break. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, I'm going to be welcoming in the author of America Alone, The End of the World as We Know It. That's after 8. To your phone calls now for Linda Clifford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. And our first caller is Becky in Menasha. Hi, Becky.
Hi. I was wondering how you see the Supreme Court balancing the needs of all families in light of the new constitutional ban on gay marriage.
Is that going to be one of those questions that you're not able to answer, Linda Clifford?
Probably so, Joy. I appreciate your recognizing that factor.
Remind us why you can't.
Well, several reasons. The Code of Judicial Conduct right now suggests and guides that justices and candidates for justice not take positions publicly on issues that might come before the court. And there's controversy about that provision. There may be constitutional issues regarding it. But irrespective of whether it's a valid rule or not, I respect the basis for the rule because as an attorney over the years, it's disheartening to come out of a courtroom with a client who believes he didn't get a fair shake because the judge had already made up her mind before we even got in the courtroom. And I think Wisconsin citizens need to understand that I do have an open mind about issues that will come before the court, including the interpretation of the new constitutional amendment, which is the law of the land and which I will have to interpret and enforce, but without prejudging its application to the particular set of facts that may come before the court at a future time. And without knowing that set of facts, without hearing the arguments of counsel and reading all the briefs and debating that issue with the other six justices, I think it deserves the people of the state to prejudge how that case might come out.
Thank you, Becky, for the call. Ann in Appleton is with us now. Hello, Ann.
Hello. Hi, Ms. Clifford. Thank you for taking my call today. I'm a young mom with two kids, and safety is really important to me. Can you tell me what kind of experience you have when it comes to crime?
I've not served as a prosecutor except in the Attorney General's office when I enforced the state's environmental law, and I have not served as a criminal defense lawyer. I've been a victim of crime, so I've seen criminal activity from that point of view. Our home was invaded a year ago. By teenagers who sought to live in our house for a day and trashing the house. And I came home and found them here in my home. And that was a pretty scary and dangerous situation for us. It could have been a lot worse, I understand. And went through the system of juvenile court to see through the juvenile proceeding. Appreciated very much the participation of the social workers, the families, and certainly the trial judge who sentenced the juvenile. So I appreciate that aspect of it. I am strongly a proponent of public safety, punishment, and protection of our citizenry from violent criminals, sex predators certainly being at the top of the list.
Yeah. Professor Schwaber, who we talked to in the last half hour, said that the ad by Annette Ziegler was a little bit interesting to him and that it was pushing how she was going to be tough on crime as a state Supreme Court justice doesn't, throw criminals behind bars.
Well, he's right about that. Mm. The state Supreme Court does regulate the justice system around the state and does have a role to play with regard to the criminal justice system, but it doesn't sentence individuals, and it doesn't deal with families under stress in a criminal proceeding, both as victims and as perpetrators. I think that the ad reflects a misunderstanding of the role of the Supreme Court, which only emphasizes my point that it takes a different skill set. And any experience that Judge Ziegler has had on the trial bench doesn't necessarily translate to what's required to be a justice, which is a long historical perspective, the 10,000-foot perspective on statewide issues that impact families all across the state.
Thank you, Ann, for the call. Jay in Wausau. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Clifford, I was curious. You've sort of spoken to your desire to be on the court in terms of qualifications and your skill set. And I was just wondering, on a more personal note, you know, as a, by all accounts, successful attorney, why do you want to be on the state Supreme Court?
Well, that's a fair question. It's not a promotion for me in terms of salary. It would be a significant salary cut. But I've always devoted my life to public service. I've been committed to working on state bar committees that advance professionalism in the law. And I have always loved the process of researching the law, studying the history and development of law, and writing. These are skills that I have enjoyed, and have also advanced causes based on my ability to convince and persuade through legal writing. This is a task I would enjoy doing, and I think that as a person who is guided by public service, the salary cut doesn't bother me because of the pleasure I would receive by exercising the kinds of skills that I value and do best.
Can you tell us your thoughts on how expensive this race is going to be?
Well, I do have concerns about the high cost of running a campaign statewide. We estimate it may cost $1 million to get the message out in about the public because of the high cost of media and advertising. It's not easy to raise that kind of money, and justices and judge candidates are prohibited from soliciting contributions. So it's a very complex process, which I think, unfortunately, intimidates many qualified candidates from considering this race, which is not it doesn't serve Wisconsin's voters well when qualified candidates aren't willing to undertake a challenging fundraising activity like this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think spending limits or more public financing of campaigns, especially for judicial races, is a good idea?
Well, I think it's certainly worth exploring. It needs to be balanced correctly, though, so that a particular limit doesn't favor an incumbent who already has built up name recognition and a record in one particular office, and disadvantage a newcomer who needs to build up and catch up in terms of name recognition. So the number, if there is a limit, needs to be appropriate to lay a level playing field. Maybe total public funding would be an appropriate alternative too, but it certainly should be studied. And a judicial race is probably a good place to start because it is nonpartisan and generally costs less than other candidate races.
Kate in Janesville is with us now. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Ms. Clifford, can you tell us about your in-courtroom experience, specifically what kind of jury trials you've experienced?
Mm-hmm. I have never really characterized myself as a trial lawyer in terms of the kind of lawyer who's in court all the time doing jury trials. I've had probably three jury trials, and the rest were bench trials around the state, and that means a trial in front of a judge, you know, numerous, countless motion hearings and summary judgment proceedings and appellate proceedings in front of circuit courts, court of appeals, and the Supreme Court. And primarily, I also advise and counsel clients without the need to go into court, but advising them about their rights and obligations under the law.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your endorsements. We heard some of the endorsements in that ad of candidate Ziegler in the last half hour. Who's endorsing you?
Well, I received the endorsements of Governor Lucey, who's a Democrat, and Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus, who's a Republican. They serve as my honorary co-chairs. I was very pleased that Governor Dreyfus agreed to endorse my candidacy after several conversations and a thorough study of my resume and my background, and I was delighted when he said, "You've done a lot in your life, young lady,"
mm-hmm.
because he not only acknowledged my career, but I don't hear the term young lady
yeah,
very
been
often,
a long time,
so
yeah.
that's kind of charming. And I also have the endorsements of many Court of Appeals judges and judges around the state, numerous legislators. I'm particularly proud of the endorsement of Judge Tom Barland, who is kind of the dean of trial judges around the state. He also served as a Republican legislator. So I think it reflects my ability to achieve endorsements from quality jurists and legislators who know my career, know I'm a straight shooter, and know I'll do a good job.
Yeah, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure being here, Joy.
Linda Clifford is a Madison attorney and a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Two other candidates are also running for Supreme Court Justice, and we will hear from them tomorrow between 7 and 8. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.